We're holding on Chochmah Aleph for 5 lines from the top. We left off, we started discussing Reb Meir, we had a machlokes Reb Meir and the Chachamim, whether you're able to sell, whether an Amar Ebriah can be sold on condition that the Adam won't do yield with her. Reb Meir says yes, the Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say it can be miyad anyway because he's not much kalt of Asera. That got us into a discussion. We said Reb Meir learns it from the word La'ama. And we said that Rabbanan used the word La'ama for a different discussion, which is the different machlokes of other Chachamim against Reb Eliezer. Are you able to sell a girl as an Amar Ebriah to Psulim and or to Krovim? The Psulim, we said, everybody agrees you can sell her to because Kedushin will be Tefis with them. Where they learn it, where we had two different Psulim, we had La'ama and we had Imra Be'ene Adinah. And then whether you can sell her to Krovim, Rabbi Yehuda holds you can, and the Chachamim say you can't. So Reb Meir. So what does Reb Meir do with these Psulim? He says we can learn that you're allowed to sell her to Psulim from the same pasuk that Rabbi Eliezer uses. Imra ve'ene adinah, that the kedushin are tofus, but it would be a bad kind of marriage because it's osur, because an isulav or what have you. And v'krovim, savalak rabbanon, damri ein merchel krovim. Whereas when it comes to krovim, he holds like the rabbanon that you anyway can't sell her to krovim. So therefore, he doesn't need the pasuk la'ama for any of these purposes. Therefore, he has the pasuk la'ama of the word la'ama available to teach us that you're able to sell her on a t'nai that she will only be an ama and that yield won't be done, even in a case where there wouldn't have otherwise been any other issur in the marriage. Speaking of this, about selling to krovim, Tani Chada Mocher La'ava Vein Mocher L'Vnoi, one braisa says that a man can sell his daughter as an Amar Ebriah to his father, but not to his own father, which she would be also to do yield with him because being his granddaughter. Even though that's the case, he's still allowed to sell her to him. Vein Mocher L'Vnoi, but he can't sell her to his son because his son would be the girl's brother. Either way, Kedushin aren't Tophis. Then we have a different braisa that you can't sell her to his father or to his son. So okay, so the second braisa clearly goes according to the Rabbanon against Rabbi Eliezer, who says you can't sell her to any krovim where kedushin aren't tofus. This is the first braisa that distinguishes between a father and a son. Who would that be like? Like Rabbanon or like Rabbi Eliezer? On the face of it, it's not like either of them. According to the Rabbanon, you shouldn't be able to sell her to either one. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you should be able to sell her to either one. The answer is lo olam k'Rabbanon. We could say that braisa also goes with the Rabbanon because the Rabbanon heich de'ikat san yud. The Rabbanon do agree as long as there's some type of yud possible. We established before that yud can be done either the Adon himself can decide to be miyayed her or he can be miyayed her to his son. So if he sells her to his own father, well then there's no possibility. She's now the other granddaughter, the Kedushin Artifus. Even if his son were to be miyad her, it would be okay. He's her uncle. She's his niece. They hear that's something that's mutter. Therefore, Moshe of the other. You have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a daughter, Dinah. Now, if he sells her to his father Yaakov, Yaakov himself can't do yield with her because he's his granddaughter. But Shimon conceivably could. She's Shimon's niece, and an uncle. So that's fine. As long as there's a tzad yield, there's an ability to do yield. Fine. It can't be done with the Adin. As long as it can be done with either the Adin or his son, this first braisa would say that that's fine. Whereas if you sell her to your son. If Reuven, now let's do the other scenario, Reuven has a son that he sells that he sells her to, well then it's not going to work. The girl is his sister. The girl is his sister. His son, she'd be his aunt. You're not allowed to marry your aunt either.
But the other way around, if
an uncle can marry his niece. An aunt can't marry her nephew.
An uncle can marry his niece.
Yeah, we learned that in Yeromis many times.
But if he marries the niece...
That's fine. It's mutter. The closest relative that is mutter to marry. So therefore, there is a tzad yud.
Yeah, but if her father has no son,
If he has no son, that's different, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about if he has a son. If he has a son. Okay. So that's a hechadik, it's tzad yud. As long as there's some possibility of yud, then it works. On to a new topic. Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says when about an eved ivri in begapa yove begapa yetze. It says begapa. We're going to explain in a second what it means. There's a couple of possibilities what it means. But if he comes in begapa, he goes out begapa. What does begapa mean? Begufa nishnas begufa yetze. The Tanakhama says it means he comes in with his goof, he goes out with his goof. What does that mean? We'll talk about it in a second.
Married.
Wait, no. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yichidi nishnas yichidi yetze. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it means he comes in unmarried, then he goes out unmarried. So my begufa nichnas begufa yetze. What does begufa mean? Amar Rava loyma she'ini yetze b'roshay evarim ke'eved. It means that unlike an eved knani who goes free if his master knocks off any of his roshay evarim, as we'll learn the details in a few days, him not. So that begufa nichnas begufa yetze means, in other words, he comes in with his body complete. He leaves begufa in the sense that you don't say, for example, what you say is that if his master knocks off any of his limbs, we don't say he goes free. What we say is he has to be compensated for that. So therefore, it's the equivalent of as if that limb was, I mean, it's not back, if it doesn't grow back, obviously, but the monetary payment for it, the nezek, tsar, etc., is the equivalent of making him whole again, because that's what the penalties are supposed to do, in the sense of making him whole and then making up for the loss. So therefore, begufa nichnas, begufa yetze, he goes out with his goof intact, but not that he goes free at that point.
So he stays with him.
He stays on for the rest of the, until the end of the 6 years, or yovel, or what have you, yeah. So he doesn't go out for Rosh Hashanah Kippur yet. Amal Abaya says you don't need that pasuk. Begapa yove begapa yetze to tell us that. Ha'umi lo tzeitzik tzeitz ha'avodim nafka. You learn that from the pasuk that says a few psukim later by an Amal Hevriya that she doesn't go free as the avodim do, which we said means that unlike avodim who go free for Rosh Hashanah, she doesn't. So the same thing applies. The same thing applies to an eved ivri because we have a hekesh between them. Achisa ha'ivriya ha'ivriya. So automatically we know it from that. The answer is Ime Hosem. If you only had that pasuk, have I'm in a native Lezmein of a Nipuk. If you had only that pasuk, Lezmein of a Nipuk, you would say that actually maybe what you have to do is you have to do both. You have to pay, unlike with an Eved Knani who he only goes free, maybe you need to, maybe Lezmein of a Nipuk means she doesn't only go free like an Eved does. You have to do both. You have to compensate her for the loss of the eye or what have you, and she also goes free. And the same thing then would apply to an Eved. And that's not what happens. Kamash Mohan, that's the Chiddush, that it means that they don't go free at all as a result of Shen Vayah. They only get compensated for it, and that's that. Interesting idea, by the way, that one of the Mephoshim brings. Why specifically does the Torah mention it by an Amal Hevriya, then why not mention it by an Eved Ivri? And the answer is because we would think an Amal Hevriya, we said before, goes, we're fine, but why, instead of selling it by an Amal Hevriya, and then we have to use a Hekesh for the Eved Ivri, do the other way around, say it by the Eved Ivri, and we'll understand it's an Amal Hevriya. So actually, on a bit of an unusual pshat level, because I haven't seen anybody else who says it, Torah la Torah says that the meaning of Loseitik Teis Avodim means don't make her work outdoors like you would have an Eved work outdoors, because Kol Kavod Vachmelach Tima, she should be given indoor work. But here we're talking about it in terms of her going free. So one of the Mepharshim, I think it might be the Tzeir Yeshua, gives an explanation. He says, because we found before that an Amal Hevriya goes free when she has simonim, which is a change in her goof. So with her, more than an Eved, you would think that a change in her goof, the loss of one of her Evarim, should make her go free. Therefore, we need to be told after there, and from that we can learn to an Eved.
Where did you learn that?
I saw it while I was preparing. I think it's the Tzeir Yeshua who says it, but I don't remember. Anyway. Okay. So Kamash Malon, therefore we need the Pasuk Begapa Yove Begapa Yetze to tell, according to the Tanakhama, to tell us that now. Okay. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov em Yichidi Nichnas Yichidi Yetze, whereas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov learns the word Begapa, it can mean alone. That he comes in alone, he goes in alone. My Yichidi Yetze, what does that mean? He goes out alone. Amar Rav Nachman, it's Chachukam. It means like this. Yesh le Isha Bonin, if he already has a Jewish wife and Jewish children, Rabba Moisele Shifcha Knanis, then his master can give him a Shifcha Knanis where he'll have relations with her and give birth to Rabba. Whereas if he does not have an Isha Rabbanim, then he can't. So that's what it means. In Begapa Yover, if he comes in Begapa, unmarried, then Begapa Yetze, then he leaves without having had a Shifcha Knanis to be with during that time either. Where is he, in Bali? Show him if he had a wife. Right. No.
What?
No, because it's true the shivcha stays behind, but nevertheless, no. In Begapa Yetzi.
I mean,
right.
The incentive of the husband to take him, he wants to have a wedding.
Okay, so there are Mefarshim who say that there are Rishonim who want to learn that what the Gemara means is if he doesn't have an issue of Vanim, the master can't force him to take a Shifra Kanis. But if he agrees to, then he can. Other Rishonim disagree with that, and the Rambam in fact asks him not like that. But if he doesn't have an issue of Vanim, then the master cannot give him a Shifra Kanis. Okay, so he gets other kinds of work out of him. Fine. I mean, you know, there's.
What about
Kuruvu then? He's not going to be doing Kuruvu with a Shifra anyhow because the children aren't considered. I have no use. That's one. There's other ideas as well. One of them, in fact, being the matter of Pruavu. That's if he has a Jewish wife, then he can be doing Pruavu with her. If he has no Jewish wife, and he's only going to be it with Shifra Tanis, what's going to happen to Pruavu? Exactly. I saw an interesting explanation also, Al Derech HaMusar, that somebody says. Sometimes it happens. There's a pasuk in Hosea or sometimes you have a person's wife like convinces him, you know, I need more, you know, and then what does he do? He goes out and maybe even steals to satisfy what she wants. So therefore, it can happen. A guy gets sold as an eved ivri because his wife was too demanding on we need things around the house. Well, therefore, let her have the consequence now that she has to share her husband with Shifra Knanis. Whereas if he has no wife in the first place, then there's no reason to allow him a Shifra Knanis.
Who for Yaakov and Rachel, who suggested that they make them
a Shifra? That's Rachel first suggested because she was childless, so she offered Bilhah. Yeah. She freed her first. Leah did the same thing with Zilpha. They freed them before they married them off to Yaakov. They're still considered shvachos in the sense that they were still subordinate to Rachel and Leah, but in actuality, they were considered. They were four wives, not two wives, two polygamy. Okay, anyway, let's continue. Okay. Turn it up on him. Limke v'mona v'yishpiach v'omad ha-masayim. If the Eved was originally sold for 100 zuz, and then he improved, and now he's worth 200, so Rashi says improved can either be that he himself became stronger, or it can mean the general prices in general have gone up. There's been inflation. The Rambam seems to say only the first way, only if the Eved himself increased in price. Now, how do we know when it comes to figuring out the balance and him going free by buying himself out, how do we know you only figure out based on the original price, the money? Because the Pasuk speaks of that you go according to the money that he was bought with. And you use that as a basis for figuring out his value. Conversely, Nimka b'masayim b'hichsit v'amun amana. How do we know if he was sold for 200 and he deteriorated, or prices went down, and now he's worth only amana? Minayin shein b'chashven el amana. How do we know that they're also, we only count in terms of amana? Talmud Lomar, kifi shanav, because the pasuk says according to the years, meaning the years that are still remaining to go. According to the years. Well, at this point, he's only worth amana. The amount of work he's going to be doing for the next few years is only going to be amana's worth. Now, Now, we only know this applies then based on those stukim. We only would know that it applies to an eved who's sold to a goy, because these stukim, the Kesem Miknasa and Kefishanov, are in connection with redeeming of an eved who was sold to a goy. Well, that's what we're going to ask. There's also logic to say because the Eved Ivri who was sold to a goy can be redeemed even by his relatives, as we talked about the other day. Therefore, you could argue that the seller yada that the, that's not the seller that the other in yada elachasayna he has the lesser claim basically. So therefore, he's only ever entitled to the lesser amount of the current value or the original value. Because after all, we said the other day that the family has a mitzvah to redeem him, as opposed to when he was sold or sold himself to Yisrael. Not necessarily does the family get involved at all, or even if they do, there's no chiyuv on them too. So then you could argue. So then, the goy has a weaker status, we see, in the fact that the klevim, are able to come in and be goyalim. Nivkali Yisrael Minolan. How do we know the same thing applies if he was sold to a Yisrael as well, that you go according to the lesser of the original value and the current value? Tamadlaim, a Socher Socher, the Zer Shava. Again, we have the Socher Socher Zer Shava that we mentioned shortly after the, that we mentioned in the first part of the Sugya after the Mishnah a few days ago. So we make a comparison between the, it says socher by, it says using the word socher by nimkel over kasavim, and also by mocher asim of Israel. So therefore you can, therefore you can draw that analogy between them. And once you do that, we had another zeta shava socher that makes it apply also either by zeta shava or mama sinu or whatever to one who was sold by base. Omer Abaya. Abaya one time said, Hareini ki ben aza b'shukit Tveria. I'm like Ben Azai in the marketplaces of Tveria. So Rashi says when Abaya was in a good mood, this is a common expression of his. We find it in a few places in chat. He uses this expression. Today I feel like Ben Azai in the streets of Tveria. Ben Azai was very sharp. Rashi quotes from Gemara in Bechoros where he says that all the Chachmei Yisrael are like an onion or like a garlic skin. In my presence, like a garlic skin, like a very insubstantial thin thing, except for this one bald Talmid Chacham, namely Rabbi Akiva. The Ben Azai is one of the sharper among the Chachamim. So therefore, Abaya
is. That's a modest thing to say, isn't that a hurtful thing to say?
It is, but you got to know your Mila, right? But whatever. Anyway, so Abaya is saying at this point, right now, I feel like Ben Azai. I feel ready to take on any challenge in Torah, basically, whether it's something I'm currently learning, whether it's not. Okay. Homele Ahumer Abonim Abaya, so somebody took him up on it. One of the Abonim came and asked him. When you get down to it, it's okay. We just said, okay, there's one pasuk that says mikasef miknasai that implies you look at the value when it was purchased. You have another pasuk kafi shana that implies you go according to the value that's yet to come. Those psukim, neither one says which one is meant to refer to which one. Ikalamid Rishim Lakula, you could darshan them Lakula, like we just did. The Ikalamid Rishim Lakumar, you could also darshan them strictly. You could say the other way around. He was sold for 100 and now is worth 200. Then you apply the pasuk Kafishana, but there's yet to be years worth of 200 zuz worth. And then vice versa if he went down in price. My chazis darshin l'chumra. So who says we should darshin them l'chumra? Nidrashin l'chumra. Darshin them l'chumra and say that if he goes up in value, you need to pay the larger amount, and if he goes down in value, you still need to pay the larger amount. And he answered, Abai answered, loy tachadayach. You can't think that way. Midyakir rachmanu lagabe, because we do see that the Torah was nekel on him. In a different context, the Tanya, the learner of Raisa, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes by an Eved Ivri, ki tov lo yimach, he has it good with you. This is the case when he says, I want to stay on and become a Nirza. He has it good with you. Imcha, we garishin, imcha b'maychol v'imcha b'mishte. It means he should be with you, the same as you, as far as food and as far as drink. So for example, you shouldn't be eating white bread and he's eating pumpernickel bread. Or after Shoyse Yain Yashad, or Shoyse Yain Chadosh, you're drinking new old wine, which is better quality, and he's drinking new wine. You're just giving him the grape juice, the cheap stuff. After Yashad Agamim Muchim, or you're sleeping on cushion. No, Muchim actually means like soft stuff, literally Muchim means like rags or whatever, but it means like a mattress a soft mattress. Who Yashad Agamim Teven, and he's sleeping on straw. He has to be at least equal. What?
From all this.
No, it's not a question of him becoming weaker. You have to treat him the same, at least you have to treat him the same as yourself. Mikan Amru, based on this, the Chachamim said, anybody who acquires an Eved Ivri, it's as if he acquired a master for himself. Why? Because Tosfos says, what happens in the case? Suppose you have the case, what if there's only one pillow, for example? The master can't keep it for himself, because then he's not Imcha, you're not treating him the same as yourself. You can't say nobody should use the pillow. That's midas daim. Somebody ought to be using it. Necessarily, you've got to give it to him. So he comes out having the pillow, and you don't. Therefore, he's like an other to you. So therefore, we see the Torah is makel on him as far as the conditions. So therefore, you could argue that logically, then we should assume that the Torah is also makel on him. You could argue when it comes to the Torah is also make on him, therefore you could argue when it comes to redeeming him. And the Gemara says, not necessarily. Why? You could argue that maybe specifically when it comes to food and drink, the Torah doesn't want him to be undergoing tzar. And therefore the Torah says you have to give him at least as good as you. But conversely, when it comes to redeeming him, maybe we should be machmer on him, based on what Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina said. Come see, he says, how harsh is the dust of Shmita. The dust of something, like a lot of times when the Gemara uses the word dust in connection with an Aveda, it means like the minor issue in it. Like Avak Lashon Hara, for example, not full-fledged Lashon Hara, do you know what point he did, but something that could lead people to Lashon Hara. Same thing over here then. There's a number of dinim that are involved in Shmita. The issue of working the land, the land, etc. One of them is the din that you're not allowed to do business with Teres Shvi'ah. That is called Avta Shal Shvi'ah. Rashi says because after all, really it's only a lav that is derived from an essay. So it's not even a full-fledged lav. It's really only a lav above a call essay. It's really officially considered just an essay. So the essay is la'ochla, that you have to eat the food of Shemitah, from which we learn v'loy l'schoda, that you're not supposed to be doing business with it. But it's only derived from that essay. So nevertheless, though, come look how harsh is the punishment for that. Adam noisav and noisav of Peres Shvi'ah, you have a person who does business with Peres Shvi'ah, when he's offered to, l'soyf mocheres metalpulav, and eventually he ends up having to sell off his metalpulim, because the pasuk says b'shnas ha'yovel b'shuvu ishalachuzah. So the pasuk mentions in this year of Yovel, everybody should return to their land. The next pasuk continues: if you sell something to your friend, ikonim yadam isecha, or you buy something from the hand of your friend, and the word hand teaches us davar andikim yad b'yad. We're talking about the talpulin, which goes from hand to hand. So we see because he violated the din of the one of the dinim of Yovel. Rashi explains it goes like this: b'shnas ha'yovel azoyis, and then we're continuing with chisimku. If you sell something that you're not supposed to during yovel, then what's going to wind up is that you're going to end up with chisimku mimkal amisecha, ikonim yad amisecha, that you're going to end up having to sell your metalpulim to somebody else. Your metalpulim, yeah. Marshall learns it differently. He says the word is the pasuk. We didn't really need the pasuk b'shnas ha'yovel azoyis tashuvu yishalach azal say at all. We have. Previous Sukkim described that everybody returns to their lands during Yovel, etc. He says the Vort is, the Torah is telling us, don't think just because you can't work the land, therefore it's paid Hector. No, Abed returns to the owners. But the point is, we see from that that the Torah therefore is kind of summarizing there the din that all the fruit of Yovel is supposed to be Hector, yet the actual land itself returns to the owners. Therefore, if you violate that by selling that fruit, then it's going to happen b'chisim kuru mimkro, that you wind up having to sell your metal.
What cannot mean selling yourself?
Selling yourself is later, but we're saying ikonim yad amisecha, you buy from the hand of your friend, which is zavah anikim yad yad. Selling himself comes later. Tosfos says, by the way, a couple of mafarshim deal with the question, what makes the Gemara assume that it was Dafka because of selling Shmita food? Maybe Taka was because he worked the land on Shmita or Yovel, let's say. And they give a few different answers. Tosfos gives an answer that Mistama, since he did illegal business, then he winds up, it's the first stage of his punishment, is he winds up having to do business and selling off his metalpulim. Another answer that they give is, we know, the Torah says, if you work the land during Shmita, you get Malchus. There's no reason to start saying that he has to sell his metalpulin and so on and so forth. So necessarily that must be something else, namely an Esther where there's no specific punishment for him. Yeah. An interesting idea that's brought from Rav Shlomo Kluger, that's also brought in Torah Tmima, is the idea that is the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin one reason behind the dinim of Shmita is to remind you that you're not the boss of the land, the Eibishter is. So a person who violates that and then sells its fruit when he's not supposed to winds up being shown, you know what, the Eibishter is boss after all. You're not even boss over your own metalpulin, and if you don't do tshuva, you're not going to be a boss over your own house and eventually over yourself, and so on and so forth. Loi hirgish, if he didn't realize that, he didn't realize that this is happening to him because he did this aveira, well, so eventually what winds up happening to such a person, he ends up having to sell his field. The next part in Parshas Behar is a case where a person has to sell some of his ancestral fields. Rashi Rashi on the end of the parasha over there explains that the whole sequence of events in Parshas Behar over there is first metalkal and then karka, and then it goes where he keeps on going from bad to worse.
He becomes
poor.
Well, maybe he didn't change his
ways.
It could be just
the
thought of himself is enough to change
the Maybe. I mean, Rashi says, well, some liberal put on us. He didn't pay attention to the punishment that's coming on him. Locks him in a beta for Yeshua Yavit, Yuchova. Okay, yeah, maybe if he has a hero Yuchova, that's something. Okay. Anyway. Loy Bosli Yadoi, then if it didn't come to his hand, meaning Rashi says he still didn't have a hero Tshuva come to him. Marshall says Loy Bosli Yadoi means he may not even have a chance to enjoy the profit, like the profits from his sales don't even come to him before the next disaster happens. So he reaches the point where he has to sell his house. The next thing in Parshas Behar over there is a case where a person has to sell his house in a walled city. So before continuing with the rest of this thing, the Gemara interjects. Why did it first, at the first case, we said he had to start selling his metalpolin, the expression was lehirgish. He didn't realize that he needs to do tshuva. After that, the expression is lebos liyade. It didn't come to his hand, meaning even a hero tshuva. First it wasn't a hergish, and then we're saying lebos liyade. They didn't even have a thought of tshuva. Why is that expression? The answer is Kid Rav Huna. That's what Rav Huna said. Dama Rav Huna. Kivin Sha'ava Adam Aveira V'shana Ba Kutra Lai. Once a person does an Aveira and repeats it, it becomes Muta to him. Famous expression. It's brought in a few places in Chas. We're not even Kutra Lai talking about it. It becomes Muta to him. It's still awesome. Ella, not this like a heter. It means he feels like it's already something that's Muta. So therefore, we use a stronger expression. First we say like Hirgish, like he didn't realize he needs to do Tshuva. Afterwards, like Basli Yadeh, like it doesn't even come into his thoughts at all, the idea that you know what, there's Tshuva to be done over here, because he's starting to think this is already something that's Mutter. There's a famous verse from a Rishon Salanter, I think I mentioned it before, that a person does it the third time, it feels like a mitzvah. There's a verse also that's brought from one of the Bali and Moshe of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, who says, so why did Rapunah have to say it in such a strange way in the first place? Let him Lachatchila say, Ova Adam Aveda V'shana Ba, Nasas Loike Heter. Why say Hutra and have to ask the question? The reason is, he says, because a person hears Hutra Lai, you immediately, what do you mean Hutra Lai? And you have to hear the answer. That itself embeds it better in your mind. Force you to ask the question and then to absorb the answer and then to absorb the whole concept a little better. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Bryce, so like Bas Liyada, he still doesn't think to do tshuva, or Marshall says he still doesn't manage to enjoy any of the profits from it. Ad Shemocher es Bita, even until he gets to the point where he has to sell his daughter as an Amma Evria. Shenema, Kiyim Kirish es Bita L'Amma, as you have the case, where a person sells his daughter as an Amma. But Afa Gavdil Bita like Siva Bahayin Yana. Now, it is true that the daughter is not mentioned in Parshas Bahari in this context. The case of the daughter of the Amma Evria is back in Parshas Mishpatim. Nevertheless, what the Benaitza wants to tell us, Nizbin Inish Bratevilanezifiribisa. A person is better off selling his daughter as an Amo Hebriya rather than having to borrow money at Ribis.
What is the comment?
Well, yeah, I mean, like this, she's not having anything. I mean, she doesn't have anything at home either. He has nothing to support her with. Actually, you should know that Rambam writes. And then the Noisei Kalim of the Rambam say he gets it from all Gemara over here. A person is not allowed to sell his daughter as an Amma Evria unless he literally doesn't have anything in the house and nothing else to do. Where again, as the Gemara is saying over here, the only other thing he could do would be to borrow money at Rivis, or to borrow money at interest.
And it's worse.
It's worse to borrow money at interest. Why? Because my time, or what's the reason? Brathin Megara Benasta, because with the daughter, it gets less and less. Time goes on, the amount that needs to be reimbursed, it's true we said the other day that you force him to raise money in order to redeem her, but the amount you have to raise for that becomes less and less as time goes on. That's also true, he may be behind her, but on most of Oslo, whereas with Ribis, it just gets bigger and bigger. So therefore, you're better off. There are Mepharshim who say we're talking about borrowing from a guy. There are other Mepharshim who point out there's three places in the Torah where it talks about the Issur Ribis. In Parshas Mishpatim, in Behar, and in Kisesei. Each one, the Issur is actually addressed to a different party. The one in Parshas Mishpatim is addressed to the Malva. If I remember correctly, the one in Mishpatim is addressed to the Malva. Don't take Ribbis. The one in Bahar is addressed to the Loiva. Don't borrow at Ribbis, even if the Malva the Malva is willing to be over on that Veda. Don't you be over on it as well. Don't be machshelim. And then the third one, Parshas Yetzei, is talking about that the Egin should be involved, the Sofer shouldn't be involved in writing up such a contract, etc. Here we're talking about Lova Beribis. You might have a case. The Malva, let's say, is somebody who's over Avedis and doesn't mind lending at Ribbis. Nevertheless, you still are also to borrow from him, but we're saying a person may come to the circumstance where he feels he has no choice but to do that, but to be over on that Avera. Okay, so Lloyd Boss Liada adds to Lova Beribis. It still doesn't come to him, a thought of Chuva, until he gets to the point of having to borrow an interest. Because it says a brother becomes poor and his hand is collapsing by you, and the pasuk continues, the sum of I'll take off my interest. Remember, don't take from him interest. So in other words, though, the point is, he's so desperate that he's ready to offer interest, you don't take it from him. Like Bosley Yoder, he still doesn't come to a hero trover. He gets to the point where he has to sell himself. He becomes poor and he sells himself to you. And loy loch elalager, and it may even happen not even to you, a yid, but rather to a ger. Shenem elager, a few psukim later it says lager. Loy lager tzedek, and we don't even mean to a ger tzedek, elalager toshav. Shenem elager toshav. So he's selling himself to a goy who at least is not worshipping of a desara. And so now the pasuk mentions a few possibilities over there. It says, starts off with chisasig yad ger v'toshav imach. If the hand of a ger toshav becomes powerful among you, and your brother becomes poor with him, v'nimkal a ger toshav imach, so he sold to a ger toshav among you, or la eker mishpachas ger, or to the eker of the family of a ger. So these are three stages. It can be the ger toshav, it can be mishpachas ger is over to kechavim, it can mean the family of the ger, meaning who are outright over to kechavim, they're out, unlike the ger toshav himself, who at least gave up of a desire, these people are still worshipping it, and he ends up working for them. Shroim la'eker, and the word eker can be the worst of all. Zanim kalavodah kechavim asma, it means that he's sold to work for the avodah zarah itself, not to consider it a god or anything that he says, but like to do menial work around the temple, like to chop wood, to draw water, etc. So that la'ekir Tosfos points out the reason why it's called that is because avodah zarah is supposed to be uprooted, and eventually Mashiach stands will be completely uprooted. Therefore, it's going to be called la'ekir. To the la'eker mishpachas ger, to the thing that's supposed to be uprooted among the family of the ger, meaning Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz Yisrael
uprooted or everywhere? In Eretz Yisrael, you have to actually lure the tacharel. You have to chase after it until you get it out of there. In Chutz La'aretz, if you have the ability to, then you do, but you don't have to be lure the tacharel. We're talking nowadays. Yeah, but anyway, Tosfos says shesoy for la'eker. Eretz Yisrael is destined to be uprooted from the world, therefore it can be called la'eker. Okay, so anyway, the bottom line is, the reason we brought all of this in is we see how much the Torah is machmer on him. We see that he got himself into this by doing something illegal, selling shmita and yogel fruit, and now he got himself worse and worse by not doing tshuva, till he's at this point. Maybe then you would think you're machmer on him when it comes to redeeming himself, that he needs to pay the maximum value, the maximum of what he was sold for and what he's worth now, not the minimum like we said before. So Abaye answers him, yes, that's true, but in that case, the Torah does also restore him, that after all, the rest of the Jewish people still have an obligation to have a chalanos on him. The Tani Dvera Bishmol, given that we see this person has become a koymer literally means a priest. He's not literally a priest, per se, he's working, chopping wood or whatever, but he's like a functionary for Avodah Zarah. So you would think at that point, give up on him, just throw a rock after the guy who already fell down. In other words, he's a goner. Just at that point, just give up on him altogether. No, the pasuk says after he's sold, there has to be a redemption for him. One of his brothers has to redeem him. So we see, therefore, the Torah, yes, the Torah was machmer on him that he got himself into such a state to begin with, but the Torah still wants to be made so that it should be as easy as possible to get him out of that. Therefore, we can assume that the Torah wants you to look for the minimum value rather than the maximum value.
So,
So that I'm not right, that if a person, that I don't remember if it's based on this Gemara or some other Gemara, it's based actually on a Gemara in Gittin, I think we had, that if a person threatens, if a person says, you know what, if you don't take care of me, I'm going to go sell myself to a guy, we let him be. You know what? Fine. You want to go to that stage? Go ahead. If he does that, then you have a mitzvah to redeem him as soon as possible so he doesn't end up assimilating, as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines. But the Pashkus, I guess the reason behind that is probably you don't want him to just be blackmailing people, you know, any time. You could, you know, every day he could say, you know, if you don't give me $1,000, I'm going to go sell myself to a guy. You know, yeah, put your money where you put yourself where your mouth is, you know, that will talk.
If you redeem him, it's not all over again.
That is true. What we did talk about the other day, we had the machlokes about if his relatives redeem him, can they now keep him as an evidently for the next few years? We said maybe there's a logic to say that they should in order that he doesn't do this again and again. The halacha is not like that. It's true, but okay, you know. Yeah. Interesting thing, by the way, about this that we're calling the fellow a klomer, which again literally means a priest of Avodah Zarah, even though all he's doing is menial jobs. There's a couple of interesting truths from Moshe Feinstein about a vaguely similar case. There was a case they brought to him of a guy who was a shochet who also worked as a shamash at a conservative shul. So they asked Moshe, is that okay? Can you rely on the guy's shita? Well, there was another case where such a person was giving shiurim. Can you go to a shiur from such a person? And Moshe says, based on this, you see that not. You see, even though all he's doing is chopping wood and drawing water, he's still called a klomer. He says, no, but David's Avodah Zarah, but okay, conservative is just as author to us as Avodah Zarah. Therefore, yeah, therefore, no. You can't rely on a shritah, and you certainly can't be learning Torah from such a person. We see it. He says, actually, it's an interesting thing. He says, the Gemara in Erchin has the same discussion. There, the Gemara in Erchin has a different Lashon. The Lashon over there is not that he became a Kramer, but he was Nimkar Avodah Zarah, that he sold Avodah Zarah. So in that case, L'chora, you should say that, go based on that, he's not being called a Kramer. But Moshe says, yes, but in general, the Rishonim were more careful with the Girsais in Seder, Moed, Nashim, and Nezikin than they were in Kachim. Kachim, there's a lot of problems with the Girsais over there, which is why you have whole Shittim and Kobethesis and other Mephoshim, so Kachim and many other Mephoshim on the side of the Amud that try to correct the Girsa because the Rishonim didn't deal with it as much. So we can assume that the Girsa over here, which is actually being called a Kramer, is more correct than that one, and therefore we should use that one, Lahalama. Another Moshe Feinstein writes that. Another interesting thing, by the way, that comes out of this that we're saying, Eim Lutchi Eben Achra Neufel, was an interesting discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Suppose you have a case of somebody who, you have a person has done some Aveda, where he's Chayev, where by rights you should put him in Chayim. The problem is, if you do, he may go and end up, Chas V'Shalom, giving up on Yiddishkeit altogether at Shmamzich. Should we say, nevertheless, you know, the din's the din, you gotta put them in cherem and let the chips fall where they may, or maybe based on this, maybe we should say that not. There's a lot of discussion. The Taz discussed it, the Taz and the Shach argue, the Ramah talks about it, the Taz argues with the Ramah, the Shach argues with the Taz, there's a lot of back and forth on it. Anyway, okay, getting back to the Gemara. The Ema, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means Geula Tiyalai Keichet Alai L'Tama Ben Erev Yichlovim. Fine. You're saying the Torah is being Mekel on him, saying be Goyal him as soon as possible. Maybe all the Torah means is, yes, redeem him as soon as possible so that he doesn't end up assimilating among the Goyim. But when it comes to the actual value that's being paid, you forecast Rabbi Yisrael Chanina's statement about how he got himself into the situation in the first place. Maybe for that reason, you should be machmir on him. We're still back to the question, how do you know that you look at the lesser of the two values of what he was sold for and what he's worth now?
Are you machmir on him or the people that are redeeming him? He has the money.
Well, he'll have to owe it to them. I mean, they're redeeming him. He's still going to owe it to them eventually.
The price.
So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, yes, the real answer is because we have two psukim that talk about this. Siv, one pasuk says, in connection, again, with this person who was sold to a guy. Siv, the pasuk starts off by saying, im oid rabbeis bashanim, if there's still many years, uchtivim v'im ma'at nisha bashanim. And then the next pasuk says, and if there's a few years. Now, the lashon is funny. V'chi yashanim merubis v'yashanim mu'atais. Are there a greater number or a lesser number of years? So Rashi says, the question is, an Eved is always sold for 6 years. So what do you mean, there's more years or less years? Right. I'm shocked at the Pasuk in context. You would say what the Pasuk is saying, regardless, however many years it is until the expiration of the term, you have to calculate based on that. But the Lashon, Im Oid Rabbeis Bashanim, or Ma'af Bashanim, is kind of a funny Lashon, kind of a funny way to say it. By, yeah. So anyway, so Rashi mentions the 6 years, and actually they talk about that really Rashi is not really being Madaic anyway, because a guy who's sold to a girl is not sold for only 6 years, he's sold to a Yovel. But anyway, many other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that, among others, because somebody who sells himself is able to sell himself for more than 6 years. We had a Braisa at the beginning of the Sugya last week that said that a Moshe Atma is able to sell himself for more than 6 years if he wants. So yes, you could have more or fewer years. Yeah. There's various other explanations. One of them being that Rabbis Bashanim and Na'at Bashanim makes it sound like there are longer years and shorter years. You know, longer years and shorter years, all years are the same length, more or less. Ella, no. So therefore, we have to understand that Nisrava Kasper Mikesef Eknasay. If the amount that he's worth has gone up, then we go according to Mikesef Eknasay. The pasuk mentioned that you pay back Mikesef Eknasay, meaning you go according to the value that was paid for him, the lesser amount. And Nismayet Kasay, if the amount is less, the amount in Ma'at Nishka Bashanim doesn't mean there's fewer years. It means if the amount that he's worth for the remaining years is fewer, then the pasuk then. His value went down. Then, as the pasuk says, kifi shana. Then you go according to the years, and therefore you pay the lesser amount, the amount that now he's worth for the remaining years. So we talked about on Amud Aleph. There's two possibilities. Rashi said it could either be that he himself increased or decreased the value. He became stronger or he became weaker. The other possibility Rashi says is there was a general inflation or deflation of the prices of avodim. The Rambam learns only according to the first one, that it depends on him himself. If the general price has gone up and down, apparently the Rambam would say that, yes, you do go according to the current value regardless. But if he himself went up or down, that's what we're saying, you go lakula either way.
What would make the value of Avadim go down or up?
The blind man. I don't
know.
What? But we say, oh, that's true also, that would make him go down in value. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. We can ask the aim of why? You could still say that maybe the pasuk means differently. It's not talking about whether he went up in value or not. We're just talking about how many years are there left. Heichad Ovid Trey or Poshle Galus, suppose that he only worked so far for 2 years, and there's still 4 years left to go. Then you have to pay four according to the amount that was paid for him originally. Meaning, in other words, maybe let's say, the pasuk is not talking about whether he went up or down in value. It's just saying that if there's more years left to go, then there's going to be more to pay. And if there's fewer years to go, there's going to be less to pay. All but Galad or Poshele Taki, native type to Kavishanov. And if you work for four and there's only 2 years left, then you pay for 2 years, Kavishanov, according to the years that are left. That's how Rashi learned it. Tosfos learned differently, that the question is basically that maybe we would say, yeah, you're going to argue that, let's say, the closer you are to the end, let's argue that you should go according to the current value. If there's still, let's say, 4 whole years left, then it's more logical to go according to the original value. If there's only 2 years left, then fine, now it makes sense to go more according to the current value, but not necessarily. That could still be whether he went up or down. The price went up, you could still say that you go, if there's only 2 years left, go according to the current value. So there's only 2 years left.
That's worth 50 at the end, and then he's going to lose money.
That is true. Well, we're still trying to figure out this that we said at the beginning of the sugya, that you always go according to the lesser, you pay him according to the lesser value. How are you getting that from the psukim? And by the way, there are also other mafarshim who point
to that, then nobody will buy a money.
No, because not usually. No, not necessarily, because he could stay stable in value the whole time.
He may.
And whatever, not necessarily are they going to buy him out during the 6 years anyhow.
But it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, okay. It's like any other investment. You're taking a risk. Look, if you don't want to, nobody's forcing you to buy an Eved, you know. But
there's a need.
Okay. Maybe not. You don't need Avadim necessarily.
They need you.
The Eved is going to find somebody. There's bound to be somebody who's willing to take that risk. You know, even junk bonds find buyers, right? You know.
For the right price.
Yeah.
But that question is, what's the right price?
So if
the price
if
go down.
Okay, so then that would be factored in to begin with, I guess. Yeah. If there's reason to think that he might go down in value in the next 6 years, that would probably be factored into the price.
Is the other he wants to make a profit for you?
No, he just wants to have it work for him. Why would
work for the amount that he pays?
Yeah,
or work for more than the amount that he pays?
I don't know the economics of buying and selling a volume.
Presumably to get more than what he pays.
Okay. So, but again, not necessarily. Is he going to be bought out during those 6 years? If he winds up working for the whole 6 years or 2 years, whatever the case may be, then he got the price for him. Okay, it's a risk. Everything has risks. Come on. Anyway, there is, by the way, as far as this business of 2 versus 4 years, there are Mefarshim will point out, when you get down to it, the more logic might also be, the more years there are left, when you would pay more for the immediately coming years than you would for the later years, because the later years, a long time from now, the time value of money, things it goes up over time. So logically, therefore, you would think you bought him, let's say, for $600. You're not going to say, you shouldn't necessarily say it's $100 per year. You might take the view that it's $150 for the first year or $125 for the second year, et cetera, and going down from there. And we're still saying, though, that you divide it up evenly. Anyway, that's the question. The answer is, then it didn't have to use the base. It would say if there's many years or there's few years. My bashanim, what does it mean? In the years, that means what we're trying to say. Bashanim, if the amount, if his value goes up, then you go according to the years. If his value went up during those years, then you go according to the original purchase price. And if the price went down during those years, then you go according to the years. That's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok is explaining. If the value went up, then you go according to the original value.
The
value of the Evan. And if the value went down, then you go according to the current value, which is what we've been saying all this time. But now we see how you learn it from the Pesukim. So Amar Rav Yosef, Darshinu Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Bahane Kroi Kesinai. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Darshan, these Pesukim, like as if it was from Har Sinai. Like he really hit the nail on the head. He explained the Pesukim exactly. You can see from them the exact lotion how it really gives us this game. Now we're going to have a bunch of questions on the Geula of an Eved Ivri and related topics. There's a few cases in the Torah where the Torah says you sell something and then you can buy it back. You have an Eved who can buy himself or his relatives can buy him back. You have a house. You have a field. So we're going to discuss all of them. The Simon is Eved, Bais, Katsoyim, Bais, Eved, Krevim. So there's catchwords for each of the cases. Number one, Bominer of Huna Brachinina Midrap Sheshes. Eved Ivri and Nimkal Eved Kuchavim. An Eved Ivri who is sold to a guy. Nigel Lachatsoyin or ain't Nigel Lachatsoyin? Can he be bought out by half or not? So let's say he doesn't have, he or his relatives don't have enough money to pay for all of him. Can he pay for half of him? Rashi says it means you'll deduct the last few years. Let's say it was originally sold, it was 10 years till Yovel, now you paid off half the money, so fine, now he only has to work for 5 years.
Cannot mean that.
Maybe, why not? That's Nigel Hatzayim. Or maybe not.
That's
not Hatzayim,
then.
That is Hatzayim. You've taken off half the term.
I mean, plus.
No, Hatzayim, whatever, but yeah.
Hatzayim means less than the present value.
If his present value is 600 and you're paying only 300, that's crazy. What it actually will accomplish, so Rashi is saying it means you'll deduct half the years. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Okay. Fine. But that's the question. Can you do that? Do we say Gulasa, Gulasa, Mistiakos, Agama? Do we say you make a Xerashava of the word Gulasa from the case of a person who's Makdish? When a person sells his Steachosa, his ancestral field, where there the din is Mas Steachosa ain't a nigger lachasoyin, there the din is you can't buy it back by half. There the Pasuk says, we figure yoder matakadego loss. That is, the person who sold it earns enough money and is able to redeem it, from which we learn, kadego loss means that for the whole thing. He has no ability to buy back only half of it. So therefore, you could argue the same thing with an Eved Ivri then, that he's considered like Hasselwood, make a Zeta Shavah from the word Gulasai. Or maybe we do say that Gzeira Shava, but only we say it Lakula. We're going to say, the Gemara is going to point out soon, that when it comes to redeeming by half, there can end up being a Kula or a Chumra, again, if values go up or down. Maybe the Torah means you can be, you can't be Goyal L'Chatzoyen if that will cause a Chumra, or we don't impose on you the Chumra aspect of it, but we would allow you to do it Lakula. We're going to have an example soon. He was worth 600 at the beginning, let's say, so 300 would be half. Then later on, his value went down, and now he's only worth 400. So if we say you go according to the original, he's supposed to pay another 300. If you say you go according to the current value, you only have to pay 200. And the chumra would be the other way around if the value went up. Tosfos discusses, if it's a real gzeira shava, you can't only say l'kula or l'chumra. On the face of it, a gzeira shava is an all or nothing thing. Okay, so Tosfos says maybe it's not a real honest to goodness gzeira shava. Because we're saying maybe you could adjust it. Amalei. So Rav Sheshet answers him, Lab Amartah Hasam Nimka Kulig Lechetzer. Just like we say over there, we learned before, we have the case where a person stole only half as much as he himself is worth, where we say you don't sell him, because only all of him can be sold, not half of him. Hachanam Nimka Kulig Lechetzer. The same thing, the logic is over here. Well, you can only be redeemed the whole thing at a time, not half. I'm going to buy it. Im Tim Soleiman Nigel Lechetzer. Actually, if you're going to say that he could be redeemed by halves, Mashkachas or Lakula or Lachumra. It could actually come out Lakula or Lachumra. Namely, Lakula. Zavne b'meya, suppose he bought him originally for 100. Yov lechamshin pagud adami. So he paid, let's say at some point he paid 50, which is half the money. Ba'ashbach ha'kamam ma'asan. The Eved paid off for himself 50. His relatives would have paid off 50 for him. Ba'ashbach ha'kamam ma'asan. Yeah, let's say right at the beginning. Yeah. Okay, or shortly after, whatever. Yeah.
After a period of time.
Yeah. No, because the point is that we're going to talk about there's only a half left. If he was sold for 600 at the beginning, let's say that's 100 a year. Right. So if a year has passed, there's only 500 left to talk about anyhow. If we're talking about in terms of 600, okay, in terms of a money level. So that's one argument that can be made, right? But we said we don't need to do that in the end. We do it. Anyway, so he gave 50. The ashba for kamam masa. Now he increased in value. Now he's worth 200. Iamet nigel hasoy and yov lemeiv nafik. So if you say that he could be redeemed by half, then fine, half has already been paid off. So then at that point, though, we would say he has to pay another 100 in order to, just another 100, and then he can go free. He would go 100 based on a half of 200, half of the current value of 200. What?
What's the
hardest for what? Well, no, he was
originally.
No, it's just, no, for, well, no, he paid. No, when you paid a half originally, it meant instead of working 6 years, you're only going to be working 3 years now.
So
he's paying
for 3 years.
Now he's paying for 3 years, yeah.
At the beginning.
No, now at some later point. During those 3 years. He paid 50 to begin with. Let's say the day after he was sold, so you still have full years to go, 6 years minus a day. He paid 50. Now, if the next day he all of a sudden increased in value, and now it's worth 200, we're saying, if we say nigal ha'tzayin, then fine, half has already been paid off. Now all you're paying off is the remaining 3 years. The remaining 3 years at his value being 200 for 6 years, then 100, then 3 years is 100, yeah.
Like
I'm saying,
we're from the beginning of the 3 years.
Yeah, I guess we have to be, yeah. Because otherwise he works for some of it off already, yeah. Yeah. Whereas if you say you can't redeem him by halves, you're able to pay him 150. Then you say you have to pay him 150, because then he paid him 50. But that comes out to be only a quarter of the total value at this point. So then, no, the 200, yeah. Okay, Mark says, what do you mean? We just said before in the previous sugya that if the value went up, you look at the original purchase price. Okay, the Gemara answers, we're going to oikil v'zolv oikil. Okay, we could be talking about a case where he went up, yeah, he went up, then he went down again, and then, so he went up, he bought him, with the case that we'd be talking about over here, a buyer's case would be, he was originally bought for 200, Then at some point he went down to 100, so then at that point he paid 50. Now he went back up to his original value of 200. You would still say you go according to the original value, so then it would depend whether nigo lahatzayin or not. And mashkachas lo lachumra, and conversely you can find that doing geula lahatzayin comes out of the chumra, namely zabne b'masan, suppose he bought it for 200, yoyev meir, he pays 100, pauger dummy, for which is half the price, the ifsif, and then he deteriorated, the koma meir, now he's only worth 100, iyamet nigo lahatzayin, if you say that you're allowed to redeem by half, at this point yoyev lechamshin menopik, you just have to pay half of the 100, which he's worth now, which is 50, and he goes free. But if you say he doesn't, we consider that 100 to just be a pikadon. Therefore, now that pikadon, meaning he already paid him 100 before, which it turns out now is his current price. So therefore, it says if that 100 was just pikadon, fine, all he has to do is give him now, and he goes free. He doesn't have to pay anything extra. So there we see an example. Where a nigel hatsoin would make things better for him. So that would mean that there was no geula, there was no half geula beforehand. He gave him the 100. That didn't accomplish any form of geula. All it accomplished is, fine, I deposited 100 with you until at some future date I can use it to redeem myself. And now it turns out that's worth his whole amount. So that was the first question. The Rambam, by the way, has a take on it that many of the Mefarshim have a hard time understanding why. The Rambam says that in the case of an Eved who's sold to a Yisrael, he can't redeem himself by halves, but in the case of an Eved who's sold to a Goy, he can. How the Rambam gets that from the Sugya is a bit of a discussion among the Noitz Kalim of the Rambam. On the face of it, there are Achronim who fan for the Rambam who find a way to that he gets it out of our Sugya over here. But there's a Keset Mishnah, for example, that agrees with him. Yeah, we got to. What? Yeah, obviously we're talking about Yadi Tov, otherwise you can't force him to do anything. Yeah.